Good morning, everybody. It's nice to be with you again. Another one of our pastor's pep talks. I trust that they are indeed an enlightenment and an encouragement to you. This is Saturday morning, and I can't believe that we're at the weekend again already. It's hard to believe. One day seems to be running into another. And I suppose with our isolation and with our social distancing, as far as we can do that, I believe the days are not very different from the other. Now, it may be that some of you are working and you can count that a blessing. I continue to work, but some of you maybe are working from home and one day doesn't seem any different from the other. But I'm going to talk to you to something today that I believe will change your day. It'll certainly inspire your heart, I trust, because it's inspired my heart this morning. And I'm just sharing to you what God gave me this morning as I read from his word. I want to read to you a few verses from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And it's reading from verse 8 down to the end of the chapter. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. But I trust that it'll be a blessing to your heart. And here's what Paul says. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. And we don't need to tell them about it, for they keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turned away from idols to serve the true and the living God. And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. Paul, in this first chapter in 1 Thessalonians, is greeting the Christians that are in Thessalonica as a result of his outreach. They have been won to faith in Jesus Christ, and they have been wonderfully, miraculously saved by God's sovereign grace. And they had they possessed those three key elements that ought to possess, every Christian ought to possess: faith, hope, and love. And those were evidences, Paul says, of their faith, their true conversion. Now, it's easy to possess those three key elements when things are going well, when we're comfortable. But it's another thing whenever you're experiencing difficulty. And in verse 6, it says that they had experienced, of one chapter 1, they had experienced severe suffering, severe persecution. We're not fully explained as to what those were, but I can certainly say they're probably a lot more difficult than what you and I are experiencing. And so, if their suffering did one thing, and their persecution did one thing, it made them examples of God's grace and power and ability to hold and to save and to keep those that he has saved by his grace. And so you could both see and you could both hear their faith. It was evident. There was no doubt about it. And just very quickly, there was the evidences of their faith. There was the evidence. People could see it and they could hear it. It was spoken about all over the place. Their lives were a changed life, and their hearts were changed hearts. Their hopes and the dynamics of their life were changed. There was evidences everywhere. They didn't only need to speak about it; it was seen. And the experiences of their life were only opportunities to them further portray what God had done in their lives. Not only was there the evidences, but there was the effectiveness of their faith. They had left behind the old idols, says Paul. Read the chapter and you'll find that out for yourself. They put to bed those old idols. But here's the reality and here's the dynamic of it. A new love had come to dwell in their hearts, and it had dethroned self and it enthroned Christ. Paul says in Romans 5 verse 5 that God has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our heart with his love. That's what happens. And whenever our hearts are filled with his love, the old self is dethroned and God is enthroned, and then it begins to work its way out through us. But the point that I really want to emphasize to you today, to encourage you, was the efficiency of their faith. You see, their faith was not a once in a lifetime, back there, back yonder, back when, that they hark back to maybe 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. Their faith was a living thing. And their faith was was energized, was motivated by their hope. Remember we said faith, hope and love. Well, it was energized by their hope. Hope in what? The hope in Christ's return. The hope of his coming. The hope of the return of Christ gloriously to the heavens. And that is what I want to center, to focus your thoughts and your mind on in the days that lay ahead, or in this present day. Because I do believe that if we focus more on the future, if we focus more on his return, we'll be thinking less of what's going on today. And it'll inspire acts and actions of hope and faith and love. And the people out from you and where you're situated will hear of it. And just let me give you three things, and I believe they'll be inspiring to your heart. Our hope is a wonderful distraction from our present circumstances. Yes, he's coming. What a blessed distraction from the pandemic that fills our newspapers, fills our newsreels. If we're not hearing about PPE, and we certainly want our medical staff to get PPE. If we're not hearing about that, we're hearing about testing. We're not hearing about testing, we're hearing about numbers of people that died. If we're not hearing about numbers of people that died, we're hearing about vaccinations. If we're not hearing about vaccinations, we're hearing about how we're going to ease this social distancing. And our hearts, our thoughts, our newspapers, our televisions are full. That is, if you choose to listen to them. I don't. But we hear about it, and we can't avoid hearing about it. Well, what about thinking about his return? Paul says, set your affections on things above. I also like what he said in Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed, be not taken up, be not changed, be not dominated and domineered by this world. Be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed. How? What's going to transform me? The renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. What renews our mind? Thinking of these things. Paul says, think on these things. So I believe we think about his return. We think about his coming. We think of a better day and a better life and a better dimension and a better sphere. I believe that will lift us out of the doom and gloom of today. Our hope is a wonderful distraction from our present circumstances. Can I also say our hope is a blessed deliverance from our present circumstances? You see, it's not only a mindset, it's also a reality. Jesus said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I love the hymn, and we maybe will sing it some Sunday soon. We're going to a palace that is built of gold. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, these Christians, they were seeing some pretty terrible things. However, they believed in, lived for, longed for, and were leaning towards his coming. The day whenever he would come again. And this hope that they had in his return, it inspired hope, yes. It was that hope of relief. It wasn't always, we weren't always going to be in these cloud-ridden circumstances. It inspired resolve. It inspired resilience. You know, we live in fallen bodies, and our old sinful nature, depending on how much you feed the spirit, but our own sinful natures, they cry out and they crave for relief from pain and suffering, whatever. And but when we think of his coming, one day we're going to be delivered from all of these things. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Oh, I could go on and on about this, but I just want to give you the third thought to inspire you. Our hope is a glorious deliverer from our present circumstances. They said it here. He said in verse 10, they said this. They said that, and they speak of how they are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. And he shall deliver us from the future judgment, verse 11 as well. That's what he speaks about. You know, folks, sin and the sinful world didn't stop him coming the first time. Death and the grave did not hold him from rising again from the dead. And nothing, no tyrant, no dictators, no government, No pandemic, no situation, not even the skeptics, not even the evolutionists are going to stop him from coming again. The coming of the Lord, the Bible says, draweth nigh. It's just, it's coming in the dawning of the day. It's coming, it's just around the corner. So let these thoughts inspire you. He's coming for you. Think about these things. Take up some time today thinking about the Lord's return. What will that mean for you and what will it mean for me? But also let it inspire your prayer as you think about the loved ones that are out of Christ. Encourage them to seek after him and be inspired today as we think about the glorious appearing of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Be blessed today and be blessed tomorrow as we worship at the throne of grace, as we sing his praise, as we lift our hearts in worship to God. May we truly be inspired. God bless you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the glorious truth of his coming again. Thank you for this hope that inspires and infuses faith in our hearts. Bless, Lord, your people. Draw near to each one, and may they know the joy of the Lord being their strength today and in the days that lie ahead. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.